Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is President's Day. Happy President's Day to you all. And as you see, those who are watching via Facebook.com/Current Sports, you see that I'm off to a riveting start to the week here on Current Sports. Ian Hawley, I've just spilled coffee all over my table here, like literally seconds before I said hello. What is up, beautiful people?
It's a Monday, you know?
It's a Monday, man.
What else can you say?
Mondays. And you probably just saw that live on our live stream here. I literally just bumped my cup, and coffee is it didn't touch my laptop, though. That's the main thing.
Yeah, that's key.
I have a little spillage here, so when you get a chance, man, just rub me in some napkins.
All right, sir. Be back in a flash.
So what we're going to try to do is have some cleanup duty to recap this past weekend in the world of sports, right? And what a weekend it was. Michigan State men's basketball fans, those of you who are not in the ER right now, I want to hear from you because this is a Michigan State men's basketball team that has certainly taking you on quite the roller coaster ride this season. And with all of that being said, thank you to Ian Hawley as he brings in a box of napkins for me to clean up my mess. I'm like a four-year-old right now, right? but because, you know, they have taken you guys on such a wild ride this season. But with all that being said, I mean, this is a team that now has the best program start in history. We now approach the final week. We now embark on the final week of the regular season, and then we talk postseason time, as Michigan State will, of course, play in the Big Ten tournament out in New York City at Madison Square Garden, one of the most famous sports arenas in all of the land, right? And, you know, Michigan State right now, I believe if they finish out the way we expect them to finish out this regular season with wins, right? And that will begin tomorrow night against Illinois for Senior Day. Michigan State should be a one or at the least a two seed. But I'm conflicted, man. When I watch this Michigan State men's basketball team, they are the most talented bunch of young men that Tom Izzo has ever had. And they showed you in that second half what can happen when they come out the gates fully focused, playing with that chip on their shoulder, playing with the mentality that they understand just how fragile success is at this level. And they understand that the time is now. That's the way they played in the second half, coming down from 27 points, the biggest comeback in Michigan State program history, the fifth largest comeback in Division I men's basketball history. They find a way to get the job done in that second half. And it was glorious to watch. It was really great basketball. And you just wonder, okay, why not come out the gates like that? And that's the thing. I mean, if you flirt with that kind of mentality come March Madness, you will lose. You will. But gosh, was that second half impressive for the Spartans. So I'm a bit on the fence, man. My emotions are everywhere when it comes to trying to pinpoint where this team is headed and what kind of damage they can do. Because I just don't know from game to game how they're going to come out the gates. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I also want to hear from our Spartan listeners out there, our Spartan fans out there. Because as you sat back on a Sunday afternoon and watched that Michigan and Ohio State game yesterday, you had to feel a bit conflicted, right? Because you knew that if Michigan, which they ended up doing this, beat Ohio State, then Michigan State would be in sole possession of first place in the Big Ten Conference. Other way around, MSU is still tied with OSU atop the Big Ten standings. Well, we all know what happened. Michigan pulls out the dub, and Michigan State now sits at number one. Were you rooting for the Michigan Wolverines on Sunday? That's what I want to know as well. And to help us with the conversation and recapping yesterday's game at the Chrysler Center, leading to that Michigan win over rival Ohio State, we will talk with Andrew Kahn, Michigan men's basketball beat writer for MLive. He was in the house. It was senior day for a few of the Wolverines as well. And we will also talk NBA All-Star Weekend. A lot of takeaways from NBA All-Star Weekend. A much better game, a much better game in comparison to what we've seen in years past. All of that and so much more. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number if you would like to join the fun. You can also check out the live stream. You can see me cleaning up coffee in a matter of moments here at facebook.com/currentsports, and you can comment below that video. I'm Mondays, Ian. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with Michigan State men's basketball. Number one, Michigan State, 26-3, 14-2, number one team in the Big Ten Conference now. Storm back from a 27-point deficit to avoid an upset at Northwestern on Saturday, escaping with a 65-60 road victory and staying atop the Big Ten standings. Northwestern, get this, led by 22 at the half. But Michigan State staged a dramatic momentum swing thanks to a smothering defensive effort and took its first lead of the game with 5:26 remaining off a Jaren Jackson Jr. bucket. The Wildcats managed just 11 total second-half points, missed 17 consecutive shots during a brutal stretch of hoops. MSU point guard Cassius Winston, how great was he? Again, this team will go as far as cash money Cassius Winston will take them. Winston paced the Spartans by nearly notching a triple-dub. 17 points, 9 boards, 9 assists. His shot-making largely helped MSU turn the tide in the second half. And also, again, those career-high 9 rebounds. Incredibly impressive. The Wildcats, underachievers all season after a history-making NCAA tournament run last year, were chasing their first win against a top-5 team in 39 years. They were also playing without their best player, 4-year starting point guard Bryant McIntosh. Vic Law led Northwestern with 21 points, 5 assists, scoring 18 of those in the first half. More on that game in just a moment. The University of Michigan men's basketball team found itself in control with a double-digit lead over Ohio State in the second half. This time around, because, again, just like it did earlier in this season, but this time around, the Wolverines flipped the script and avenged that last crushing loss with a 74-62 dub over the Scarlet and Gray on Sunday at the Chrysler Center. Senior guard Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman led the charge on senior day, 17 points for number 22 Michigan. Michigan now sits at 22-7, 11-5 in the Big Ten Conference, and also snapped a 3-game losing skid in the series. Freshie Jordan Poole, he was the X factor in this game. He provided a spark off the bench, 15 points, 12 coming in the first half. Sophomore Xavier Simpson scored 13, and junior Moritz Wagner added 12 and 7 boards. Now, Ohio State's loss gives Michigan State a full-game lead in the Big Ten standings. Keita Bates-Diop scored 17 for number 8 Ohio State, which won the rebounding battle 40-30 and had a 13-2 edge in second-chance points, but also had 14 turnovers that led to 22 Michigan points. Again, keep it locked because we will talk with Andrew Kahn,
Michigan men's basketball beat writer for MLive.com. Andrew will join us during segment B of the show. The Michigan State hockey team put together a really energetic third period rally, but could not come back to top number 16 Penn State as the Nittany Lions hung on for a 3-2 win on Saturday at a sold-out Mount Ice Arena. Patrick Kotarinko cut the deficit to 3-2 with a power play goal early in the third as MSU outshot Penn State 19-8 in the final period, but wasn't able to get another puck pass goaltender Peyton Jones. Penn State finished with a 37-33 shots on goal advantage. MSU went 1-for-5 on the power play, while Penn State was 1-for-3. The Spartans will close the regular season next weekend, well, I should say this weekend, on Friday and Saturday at top-ranked Notre Dame. And speaking of Notre Dame, Captain Tony Calderon scored the game-winning goal in Michigan's 4-2 victory over number one Notre Dame on Friday. The senior forward delivered the game winner against the Irish once again on Sunday, scoring his 17th of the season with 38 seconds remaining in the second period at Yost Ice Arena out in A Squared. Sophomore goalie Hayden Levine shut the door the rest of the way, making 35 saves, including several key ones in the final 3 minutes to preserve a 1-0 dub for the 18th ranked Wolverines. This weekend was the first time Notre Dame had been swept all season, and the two wins greatly improved Michigan's chances of getting an at-large bid into the 16-team NCAA tourney. The Wolverines won 4-2 on Friday. Big weekend for the University of Michigan hockey team. Michigan State baseball was topped twice by Fresno State on Saturday in a doubleheader, falling 9-4 in the opener before a 2-1 pitcher's duel loss in the nightcap. Spartans were also nipped by the Bulldogs of Fresno State 5-4 Sunday in the series finale of a 3-day, 4-game weekend series at Fresno State's Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. On Sunday, MSU's offense was boosted by a pair of 2-run homers by junior third baseman Marty Bashina and senior first baseman Zach McGuire, who went 2-4-4. Next, in the Spartans, well, I should say the Michigan State returns to California this weekend for a 3-game series at Pepperdine on Friday through Sunday. In the Spartans' first ever visit to Malibu, MSU and Pepperdine open the weekend on Friday at 5 p.m. before the middle game on Saturday at 4, and the finale will be held on Sunday at 1 p.m. Michigan State softball got a pitching gem from senior Bridget Rainey to earn a 2-1 Sunday dub over Southern Illinois to wrap up the Gamecock Invitational at South Carolina. The Spartans got their 8th complete game pitching performance of the season and 3rd from Rainey, who struck out 9 in the game. In the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th innings, Rainey struck out the final batter of the inning with a runner on base. In the 7th, she retired the side in order to preserve the 2-1 victory. The Spartans head to Miami this weekend, that must be nice, right, for a tourney at Florida International University, where it will play 5 games. The Detroit Red Wings. Austin Matthews snapped a 2-2 tie with 30.2 seconds left as the Detroit Red Wings went on to lose 3-2 to the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sunday night at Little Caesars Arena. Nothing more to elaborate on there, but just want to let you guys know that you can catch the Winged Wheel next, taking on Nashville at home tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. The NBA All-Star Game had a meaning for LeBron James. Because of the format change, he picked his squad. He wanted to win. He disagreed with a replay review. He challenged and fouled DeMar DeRozan as DeRozan drove to the basket instead of letting him throw down an uncontested dunk. It was a much more competitive NBA All-Star Game yesterday. It was actually pretty entertaining to watch for those that did tune in. Team LeBron defeated Team Stephen, led by, of course, Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. A final of 148-145. James was named All-Star MVP for the 3rd time in his career and for the first time since the 2008 All-Star Game, which took place in New Orleans. We'll have more on the NBA All-Star Weekend in just a moment. The 2018 United States women's hockey team continued its quest to break Canada's Olympic dominance by defeating Finland 5-0 to set up a gold medal meeting Thursday with Canada, which defeated the Olympic athletes from Russia 5-0 in the second semifinal. Very impressive stuff, and we wish our United States women's hockey team good luck come later this week. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
So proudly wail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the so gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave through the night that I've
Okay, I'm really hoping that I did not just lose my entire listenership as we play that rendition, one of the worst renditions I've ever heard of our country's national anthem. Fergie tried. She tried. You know, this is a classic case of doing too much. You know, trying to be creative, put your own spin on the national anthem. We've seen it countless times. I mean, heck, to be honest with you all, heck, the great Marvin Gaye, if you remember, Marvin Gaye sung the national anthem, I believe, and we have to double check this, I believe it was the Super Bowl. I believe it was the Super Bowl when Marvin Gaye decided to put his own twist on the national anthem. And those that remember that rendition remember that at first Marvin Gaye, he caught a lot of flack for it. A lot of flack because it wasn't original. Don't tamper with our national anthem. Please don't do that. But then later on down the line, I mean, today especially, we look back at that rendition of the national anthem from Marvin Gaye as such a groundbreaking moment in musical history. Because it was really like the first time we've seen somebody tamper with the feel of the national anthem. And we look back at how Marvin sung that, and he sounded great. I thought it was a really cool remix, right? But Fergie, I could see if Fergie had the pipes to do it, but Fergie's singing is just, it's real commercial. You know, she's not a Whitney Houston. You know, she's not a Mariah Carey. She doesn't have vocal range like that. You know, she's real on the surface when it comes to her music, and mostly her production is what really sells her music, not her vocals. She's not known for being a vocal genius. But her take on it, it was too sexy. Charles Barkley, I love Charles, on the NBA on TNT crew. Of course, Charles is a basketball Hall of Famer. Charles is great on the television, and he doesn't hold back. Charles jokingly said during the NBA halftime show that, man, can we please talk about Fergie's national anthem? I need a cigarette after that. So that was pretty comical. So I'm sorry if I made your ears bleed for the last 2 minutes here on Current Sports. But that was just one of my many takeaways from the NBA All-Star Weekend. I'll get to those later on this hour. Again, we've got a great show for you. Again, we'll talk with Andrew Kahn, Michigan men's basketball beat writer for MLive.com. Andrew will help us recap what happened out in Ann Arbor yesterday at the Chrysler Center as the Michigan Wolverines poured out a win over the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I know, Spartans, I know it pained you to do that yesterday. I could feel your pain having to root for the Wolverines so that your Spartans could hold the number one spot in the Big Ten Conference. So we'll talk with Andrew about what happened yesterday. And also, Ian, I know... When Fergie's national anthem was on yesterday, you actually walked out of the room. I was very tempted to. And as I played it just then, I mean, you took off your headphones. You couldn't stand it, man.
Well, I hadn't heard the whole thing until right now. Because, I say, when yesterday I was getting kind of hungry.
Yeah.
And the All-Star game was about to come on. And I was like, oh, I'll stay for the national anthem. But then that came on and I had to get out of there.
Just evacuate, right? Evacuate the premises. All right. Let's shift gears now. I want to talk MSU men's basketball. And again, I want to pose the question to you all. How are you feeling after a 27-point comeback win on the road against Northwestern? Who, by the way, they aren't playing on campus because I guess their arena right now is under construction right now. So they are actually playing in the Shy, you know, at a hockey arena. Like, right underneath, like, I think, O'Hare Airport. So it wasn't a really true home court advantage. In fact, there were more Spartan fans. This is what I saw, what was reported online. There were more Spartan fans in the house in comparison to Northwestern fans. But Michigan State, you know, I had gone and seen Black Panther. As you guys know who tuned in last week, I saw Black Panther around... It was a 1 p.m. showtime, and it's a 2-hour, 13-minute movie. So, you know, I said, hey, the Spartans, they look good against Minnesota on the road. I'm going to watch this. And by the way, I'm going to speak on Black Panther to close out the show for weekend winners, right? I'll get to BP later on. But I left the theater, and Ian's pumping his fist because he loved it too. And I love this film on so many levels. But let me set that aside right now. I left the movie theater, got in my car, and I look at my phone, and I'm sitting there saying, are you kidding me? Michigan State down by 22 at the half against a Northwestern team that has tremendously underperformed this year. I said, this can't be. Something's wrong with my phone. I need to go to my cell phone carrier tomorrow and complain a bit because this is wrong. I'm getting wrong updates here. This has to be wrong. No, it wasn't. Turned on the radio dial, and I heard Will Tiemann and the crew just a bit shocked at what they had seen in the first half. Got home, I watched the second half, and then something magical started to happen. Michigan State woke up. Michigan State started playing the basketball that we know they are capable of playing at. And they came out focused. And what was particularly impressive about that second half performance, again, they come from 27 down. Again, to put that into context, that is the biggest comeback in Big Ten men's basketball history. It's the fifth biggest comeback in all of Division I basketball history. Quite remarkable. And just a quick update, Michigan State has remained in the top spot at numero uno in the United States. USA Today coaches poll for a second straight week. Michigan jumped to number 16 with that win over Ohio State. But the defense for Michigan State is what really was the game changer for me in that second half. I mean, we saw just lockdown defense, and it was suffocating defense that Northwestern just couldn't figure out. Couldn't figure it out at all. I mean, you look at that second half from Michigan State, you know, held Northwestern to 3 of 26 shooting. They only hit one three-pointer in the entire second half when they hit 8 in the first, which helped give them that 20-plus point lead. Major credit to Matt McQuaid. Major credit to Kenny Goins. Because, again, they speak to how deep this team is. Coming in and just playing lockdown D in the face of Northwestern that entire second half. And then Michigan State just delivered just one incredible offensive performance in that second half. And I think it was spearheaded by Cassius Winston. Again, this team will go. This team will go as far as Cassius Winston takes them. Cassius Winston was fantastic. And it's so amazing how he has developed that three-point shot of his. I mean, Cassius Winston was great in that second half. And not to mention, you know, he had a great rebounding performance against Minnesota, but he had an even better one, the best rebounding performance of his young career on Saturday against Northwestern. He had 9 boards. That led and that ended up, you know, sparking a 24 straight point stretch of that game over 11 minutes, a 65-60 win. This will likely send the Spartans to a Big Ten title, barring disaster, right? But this puts them in prime position now. They can actually clinch at least a share of the Big Ten regular season championship with a win at home against Illinois tomorrow. But again, I'm a bit on the fence here with this team, because we all know how talented this team is. We all know that this is the most talented team that Tom Izzo has ever had. This is the deepest team he's ever had. There's talent every which way you look at. When you evaluate this roster, so many guys can score. So many guys can come off the bench and give you good minutes on both sides of the floor. We all know that. But for me, it's just mental with this squad. It's all about the muscle between the ears with this team. When they come out the gates and say, let's get it, let's lock down, let's get in the faces, you know, that famous slap in the court thing that they do. When they are emotionally in tune with the game and mentally in tune with the game, there's nobody that's beating this team. And when they're shooting that well from beyond the arc, there's nobody that can beat this team. Tom Izzo, I watched his post-game press conference, and Tom noted that he didn't yell at his team at halftime. When they trailed 49-27 at the half, he didn't come in the locker room and just light them up, as we've seen Tom do multiple times on the sideline. No, he didn't need to yell. He just basically said, I'm really disappointed in you guys. I'm really disappointed in you. And as Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal noted in his column today, he said, you know, and this is so true, you know, when your parents sometimes, they don't need to yell at you for you to feel bad about something that you didn't do or something wrong you've done. Sometimes, you know, my grandfather used to do this all the time. You know, when I would get in trouble from time to time, I was a good kid for the most part, but hey, every kid gets in a pickle, all right? And, you know, whenever I would get into a pickle, my grandfather wouldn't yell at me, wouldn't get in my face and say, what are you doing? He would just say, Al, I'm really disappointed in you. And that would hurt more than if he did yell at me, because you don't want to let down and disappoint those who you love and those who are closest to you. But that woke up this team. Izzo saying, hey, I'm disappointed in you, woke up this team in the second half. And gosh, did they play hungry or what? And Cassius Winston, again, he just took over. You know, 13 second half points, a career high 9 rebounds, And you add that in combination with great role players like a Matt McQuaid, like a Kenny Goins, it led to the Wildcats. Again, 3 for 26 shooting, 1 for 10 from beyond the arc. That is what this team is capable of. And that is why this team has the potential and is the favorite on a lot of folks' tongues out there of going all the way and winning the entire enchilada. But that first half is also why a lot of folks have a blinking yellow light when discussing Michigan State. That's why a lot of folks approach this team with caution, because they have seen times on the road against subpar competition where Michigan State has played down to that competition and let the opposition control the game. You best believe if Michigan State gets down 20-plus come March Madness, they won't be advancing. Michigan State will not be advancing. I don't care who they're playing. You can't get down that much and expect to just turn it on and treat your play like a light switch. You got to have that focus. Championship teams hold that focus from beginning to end. And that's why I have to pump the brakes at times when I'm talking about how good this Michigan State team is. I mean, we just had our very own Brad Walker come in. Brad's like, wow, what a comeback. They're just finding ways to win, which is great. Yes, you want to find ways to win. And Michigan State has found multiple ways to win this season. But at the same time, I just feel like they keep playing with fire. And eventually, I mean, you know the old saying, if you keep playing with fire, eventually you're going to get burned. That's the feeling I have with this team right now. I thought that the win against Minnesota was going to be the point where you could point to and say, yep, that's where things really start to change. That is where Michigan State, when they're playing competition that they know they're better than, they have found a way to step on the throat of the opposition. I was wrong. But a win is a win. So I have mixed feelings. My feelings are everywhere. I'm excited about where this team can go, but I'm also like, what if they have another Northwestern blunder coming out the gates? You know, and that will lead to a loss. So I want to know what you think. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'm getting a lot of comments on our Facebook page. Ben says the comeback was unreal. I was going bonkers during the comeback in the second half. And, yeah, this team has put you fans through a lot. You probably, you know, need to go see a doc right now, because I'm pretty sure you're going to be diagnosed with high blood pressure and all of that. You know, you may have an irregular heartbeat, you know. I mean, many symptoms, because you Spartan fans, I don't know how you've done it this season. Ben also says, doubt fuels this team, Al. Doubt fuels us. And I agree with that as well. Stephanie says, speechless, Al. I mean, it's really hard to put in perspective just how you feel after watching a game like that. Justin says, I don't like us as a number one seed. And he also says, I want another L under our belt before we go in. So Justin is playing the chip on the shoulder card, saying that this team needs to be humbled some more, because obviously they can't handle the expectation of being one of the top dogs in the tournament. Maybe they need an L to kind of wake them up. Justin wants another wake-up call that leads to a loss. I don't think that's the popular opinion when it comes to a lot of Spartan fans. Ian is shaking his head right now, right? I mean, you don't want that. Who wants no one hopes for a loss, right?
I see where he's going with this, I don't think a flat-out loss is necessarily the way to go. Maybe another close game,
yeah.
But I don't think we can really afford to take a loss right now.
I think he may have a point, though. I think if this team has a loss before March Madness, who at this point, who cares? I mean, really, who cares about a Big Ten title? I'm probably in a minority in saying this. Who cares about a Big Ten title? Who cares about a Big Ten tournament championship? All of that doesn't matter. What matters with a team like this is if they can make a run to the Final Four and win Tom Izzo's second national championship. Big Ten titles, regular season titles, who cares about that when discussing a team of this kind of talent? Because it will be looked at as a failure. If Michigan State wins a Big Ten regular season title, I'm not trying to dilute that accomplishment. Great accomplishment. Another banner you can hang up. And Tom Izzo doesn't hang banners for Big Ten tournament championships, but he does for Big Ten regular season championships. But fine and dandy. You're the best team in your conference. But with a team that is as talented as this one, it means nothing if they don't win a national championship. I'm just saying. Let's hear our first break. We do have a few callers we're going to get to on today's current sports. I see, what do we got? We got Kirk from Grand Ledge who wants to chime in. We got Apache online, too. I'm going to get to Kirk and Apache, and then we'll get to our guest for today's current sports, Andrew Kahn, Michigan men's basketball beat writer for MLive.com. Andrew was in his house at the Chrysler Center and witnessed that Michigan and Ohio State game yesterday. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, the question I'm posing to you all, again, I'm your host, Al Martin. The question I'm posing to our listeners out there is what do you think about this year for MSU as we now enter the final week of the regular season? Again, I noted that at this point, yeah, a Big Ten title was great. Big Ten tournament championship, fine. But again, it will be a failure if this team wins a Big Ten title or wins a Big Ten tournament championship and does not go to the national championship this season. It will be a failure because the expectations are higher than that. Izzo has noted that. Stephanie says, we want titles and championships. That's the goal of this team. Yeah, you do, but you want the national championship with a team like this. That's all I'm saying. It'll be great. It's going to be great. I think Michigan State is going to win the Big Ten regular season championship. It hasn't been done in some years now. I want to say, what was that, 2012, I believe? If we can double check on that, Ian, if I'm correct off the noggin, I think it was 2012. I believe that was the last time Michigan State won the Big Ten regular season championship. That'd be great, but it will be a failure if they don't get the job done come the big dance. I want to get to two of our callers before we get to our guest for today's current sports. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge, my man, on line one. Kirk, hope you had a great weekend. You are on Current Sports.
Hello, Al. I'm going to start with a little history lesson for you because, you know, I have to do that with you every once in a while because you're such a young buck.
So, go ahead.
You mentioned the national anthem and Marvin Gaye,
yes,
and stuff. He wasn't the first one to put his own stamp on it.
Well, Jimi Hendrix, too. The great Jimmy as well.
One of the first ones, if not the first one, and it happened in Detroit during the 1968 World Series, was Jose Feliciano.
Ah, really?
And he got absolutely ripped from one end to the other for what he did with the national anthem. But I don't know if there's anything out there on YouTube about that with any video of that. But, yeah, he definitely put his own spin on it, and that did not go over well at all. But that was 1968 World Series. I want to say it was Game 5 maybe or something like that, maybe 3 or 4.
Okay.
And anyway, going to the Michigan State game on Saturday, I watched the whole game. I knew Michigan State would make it close because the first half was one of those games where Michigan State was getting good shots. Their first two shots of the game came within 4 feet of the basket, and they missed them. They just bounced them off the back of the rim and came out. They were getting good shots but weren't making the shots. And Northwestern was hitting everything under the sun, no matter how difficult and no matter, you know, whether it was somebody who had never shot a three-pointer in their season or whatever. They're draining threes like there was no tomorrow. So I knew everything would regress back to the mean. I just didn't expect them to come all the way back and be able to win. I just thought it was going to be one of those games. But the player who, to me, hasn't gotten enough pub about his effort in the second half was Nick Ward. I mean, Izzo mentioned how his defense improved so much in the second half. But to me, in the second half, what he did was amazing in that I swear he was trying to personally foul out every big man Northwestern had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time he got the ball, he got fouled. A big man goes out, another guy comes in, next guy comes in, he goes out, he's got four fouls. All three of their big men had four fouls by the end of the game, and his effort was I thought, superb on both ends of the floor. As far as I want a Big Ten championship, and I understand the expectations. To me, the best statement I ever heard about this year's expectation came from Jim Caperoni where he said, this year is either going to end in great disappointment or in greatness. One of the two.
You can say that again. Kirk, always good hearing from you. Great take. Appreciate it.
Take care, Al.
You got it, my man. Line two, our dear friend we haven't heard from in a while, Apache on line two. Apache, what's up, my man? Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, I did, man, obviously. In fact, I got a message to Spartan fans, and Ray in particular. You're very welcome.
Right? Exactly. I mean, that had to be a mental...
You need us, guys. You know what I'm saying?
But exactly.
I want to co-sign for what was just said, man. I thought the difference in that game was Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a crybaby all year because he's thinking about his pro career. No disrespect to the brother. But when he played against Northwestern in the first half, he was balling. He was nasty. And I hadn't seen that nastiness all year. I just seen crybaby, and he was nasty. He was trying to win that game himself. He was angry. He was tenacious. And in the second half, he even played better, and everybody started playing with him. But I think that's a turning point because he's finally got his head in the game, and I think that's going to be of great benefit when you got three guys that can post up and dominate in the box there. So that was very, very impressive. I think that's going to be a turning point. The other thing is that this team's on a mission, man. They're focused. I ain't drinking no Kool-Aid, but they're very, very focused. The beauty about this tournament this year, NCAA, is that there's really no dominating teams out there. It's a toss-up, and that makes for a fun tournament. I'm tired of the Dukes and the Kentuckys and the North Carolinas. It ain't like that this year. It's going to be a toss-up, and it's going to be a fun tournament. So good luck, Green, till you played blue. So, hey, man, nice talking to you, brother.
Always good hearing from you, Apache. And, you know, Ian, I think Apache brings up an interesting point. And one I think needs to be noted, you know, when you look at, and I feel like we've been saying this now for the past 5 to 7 years, there's so much quote unquote parity in the college basketball world. And how many times, how many upsets have there been? I think there's something like 60 plus upsets. The last time I checked, it was something like 64 upsets when it comes to the top 10 teams that we've seen throughout this college basketball year, which is insane, right? And the fact that Michigan State has found ways to win despite looking at teams like Duke, like Villanova, and so on and so forth, fall to quote-unquote lesser competition. Michigan State is still finding ways to win this game. It just makes it so hard to pinpoint whether or not this team will make a deep run, because we all could see this team going to the national championship and winning the whole thing, of course, without a doubt. But I wouldn't be surprised if this team also just ran into a good team that matches up well with them, and they don't come out focused. Michigan State does not come out focused, and they ended up, you know, saying goodbye a little too early, a little too soon, come March Madness time. And yeah, and also the comment about Nick Ward, 3-for-8, 9-for-11 from the free throw line. He had a double-double, 15 points, 10 boards. Nick Ward, I think throughout the season, and even dating back to last year, Nick Ward, and Izzo has noted this countless times as well. I mean, Nick Ward is one of the most, if not the most improved player that he has on his team. We didn't expect Nick Ward to close out the year like he did last season. We did not expect Nick Ward to play the way he's played this season. I mean, Nick Ward is a handful, and he has really dedicated himself to his craft, gotten the gym, lost weight, become very versatile with his moves down low. Nick Ward is a fun player to watch, but also it was a big shot that Josh Langford hit very early in that second half that really shifted momentum in favor of Michigan State early in that second stanza that really got that offense jump-started. So I want to give a shout-out to Josh Langford and that big bucket that he had. I believe it was around the 13-minute mark, and then we kind of saw, and again, the defense from Michigan State. Michigan State, they have the ability to just suffocate you defensively, to, you know, come off screens and switch, to contest shots, to, you know, it's amazing watching Michigan State's defensive prowess at times, because that is what, for me, really separates Michigan State from the rest of the pack in the nation, is the way they play defense. When they are locked in defensively, you are not going to beat them. So, an incredible comeback for MSU. The biggest comeback in program history, the fifth biggest comeback in NCAA Division I men's basketball history, the biggest comeback in Big Ten men's basketball history. What a game it was. It was thrilling. And now Michigan State will look forward to senior night at the Breslin tomorrow night against Illinois. Keep it locked to Tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to that game. And, of course, we will be in the house, and I will be in the house providing a two-minute drill report when that one is said and done. Let's hear our final break. Again, if you do want to call in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. We'll be chatting with Andrew Kahn, Michigan State men's basketball beat writer for MLive, after the final break. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just about 15 minutes left here in the hour. So let's get to our guest for today's show to close out the show. His name is Andrew Kahn, Michigan men's basketball beat writer for MLive. Andrew, of course, was at the Chrysler Center covering senior day for the Michigan Wolverines as they bested the Ohio State Buckeyes. What a year John Beilein's team is having. And, you know, first off, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Al, thanks so much for having me on.
Always great hearing from you, my man. And I want to start by saying that it was a bit weird here in East Lansing because Spartan fans had to do it. They had to root for the Michigan Wolverines as much as it pains them to do so. They had to do it because now, with the Michigan win over OSU, Michigan State sits atop the Big Ten standing. So it's a bit weird here in East Lansing, but, you know, it was senior day for the Wolverines, and this is a Wolverines team that I'm sure was chomping at the bit to get this win over Ohio State, considering what happened the first meeting between the Buckeyes and Wolverines. Just kind of recap yesterday's game, and what were some of your biggest takeaways in that Michigan dub?
Sure. Well, to get back to your first point about Michigan State fans, you're absolutely right, because before I even realized my story was, like, published online, that had gone live on MLive.com, the, like, first 10 comments were from Michigan State fans cheering on the victory, you know, with their go blue. It was a little unsettling. But yeah, it was an important win for Michigan. You're absolutely right about, you know, getting revenge from their loss to Ohio State earlier in the season. That was on the players' minds. They had blown a 20-point lead in the first half in that game, and they wanted to avenge that loss, and they did so with what they've been doing all season for the most part, which is playing really sound defense. You know, they forced some turnovers. They gave up some offensive rebounds, more so than they had earlier in the season. But they forced a lot of misses from Ohio State. They extended their defense. They played physical. To hear Chris Holtman, the Ohio State coach, talk about Michigan's defense after the game, it's not what you'd heard from opposing coaches, you know, in past years. Mm-hmm. And they got, you know, they got some hot shooting off the bench from Jordan Poole. He was big in that game. He came in, he hit four threes, kind of changed the momentum of the game in the first half, and Michigan, never gave up that lead.
Without a doubt, and again, that's something that happened in that first meeting where Michigan has a double-digit lead and lets Ohio State back in the game, and OSU pulls out that win. But, Michigan has been able to frustrate the Buckeyes, and this is a Buckeyes team that Michigan State, when playing the Buckeyes on the road, I mean, they were completely blown out of the water. I mean, just to go back to your point about the defense from the Wolverines, what's allowed this team to be so good on that end of the floor to frustrate OSU?
They've got for the second year in a row, they've got a new assistant coach. So they've had a lot of fresh ideas come into the program in just the last 2 years. They're playing really, the players always talk about being connected, which is, their way of saying that, when one guy gets beat, the other help defender knows where to be. So it doesn't lead to an easy basket, at least. So they're trying to force, tough two-point shots. And against Ohio State, you know, what they, I know Michigan State played them earlier in the season, so maybe the book wasn't, you know, quite out on them, but it was extend the pressure on the guards and sort of make them beat you. Because we all know what Ohio State has in the front court with Kata Bates-Diop, who could very easily be the Big Ten player of the year, and Wesson inside, and Jay Sean Tate, who's, you know, just a veteran player who plays way bigger than, you know, his 6'4" height. They've got the scorers inside, but it's a question of whether their guards, you know, can break you down off the dribble, you know, and make you pay for playing them well beyond the 3-point line. And, you know, for the most part, Sunday against Michigan, Ohio State could not.
And again, you mentioned Jordan Poole. I mean, he comes off the bench, makes 4 3-pointers, 15 points for the Wolverines. He was really the X factor in that game, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's we recorded a podcast here at M Live. You could check out online later today. But you know, I mentioned there that Jordan Poole is the ultimate, kind of no, yes kind of shooter. Yeah. Where, you know, whether fans or his own coaches, are kind of thinking when he puts up a shot. But he's a guy who can get his own shot. There's not many players in college basketball. It's an important commodity to have, I'll say that. A guy who can, you know, shot clock's winding down, you know, go get us a bucket. And that wasn't the case with all of his baskets yesterday, but, they were still much needed when the game was sort of a grind early on. He came off and changed the game with his outside shooting, and it's just been so important for Michigan to have either, you know, him get going or Duncan Robinson, who played well yesterday, overall, but did not make any field goals. One of them to kind of provide that outside punch for Michigan.
Right, and anyway, again, we also saw on Senior Day, Michigan seniors Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, who had a team high 17 points, along with Jaron Simmons, Austin Hatch, and Duncan Robinson. They were honored in a pregame ceremony. But you know what I also found a bit odd was Andrew Dockage, who was actually booed. I mean, you could hear it through the television as well. Andrew Dockage, he was booed by Michigan fans. You know, just about every time we saw him get his hands on the basketball, he was recognized by Michigan in last year's Senior Day festivities. Was that a bit odd to watch?
It was so odd. It was so bizarre. It was the second year in a row for Michigan where a player who had been part of Michigan Senior Day ceremonies was then the next year suiting up for the other team on Michigan Senior Day. Dockage in particular, being at the fact that he was at Ohio State, Michigan, one of Michigan's big rivals, of course, the fan reaction was was decisive. It wasn't just booing when he came in. As you said, it was every time he touched the ball, he was booed. Michigan fans, let him know that they were not happy that he went to Columbus. The fact that the path he took to get there was, that wasn't necessarily his plan when he left Michigan. And John Beilein has said this, they did not offer him a scholarship for that fifth year. So, it's not like he wanted to play somewhere. He wanted to play under scholarship, but it looked like he was heading to, much smaller Division I school at one point. And then, Butler showed interest with Chris Holtman, and then, that Mata gets fired. Holtman goes from Butler to Ohio State, and sort of the dominoes fall for Dockage to end up in scarlet and gray. It was an interesting game when they first played in Columbus, just to see him competing against his former teammates and guarding, on both ends of the floor, going head to head with Xavier Simpson, who was, his mentee. Dockage mentored Simpson last season, mm-hmm. when Simpson was a freshman, and now they're going head to head, and it was odd. It was an odd sight.
Yeah, that was quite the storyline, Andrew. And with 3 minutes left here, Michigan, of course, will finish the regular season on the road at Penn State. Then, of course, they will play Maryland on the 24th against Penn State come this Wednesday. And I saw that, after the win over Ohio State yesterday, Andrew, the Wolverines did see a jump in their RPI to number 28. Where do you see this team being seeded come the Big Dance? And what must happen, you think, come Big Ten tournament time out in Madison Square Garden for Michigan to possibly improve that standing?
Yeah, they've got, you know, they've got the same number of losses right now as Nebraska. You know, they both have the five losses with Nebraska's loss on Sunday, tied for that fourth spot. Now, the important thing to note is that Nebraska holds the head-to-head tiebreaker. They only played once in Lincoln, and Nebraska won. Nebraska finishes at home against Indiana and Penn State. That's an easier slate, you know, it would seem, than Michigan's going to Penn State and to Maryland. So if they end up tied or Michigan falls behind, obviously, then Michigan would fall into that fifth spot, most likely. And I don't think that's a terrible thing. I think, you know, it sounds good to be in the top four and get that double bye. But then you're playing a better team, you know, in their first game, potentially. I think it's more about, you know, the matchups and you know, who they might, you know, want to see. You know, Michigan has now beaten both Michigan State and, you know, Ohio State at least once. They lost to Purdue twice, but played them really close both games. Don't think they match up with actually Nebraska all that well. You know, we'll see how they do against Penn State and then their rematch with Maryland coming up this week. But I think it's more about, Al, I'd say it's more about the matchups, you know, that they might see in the Big Ten tournament, more so than just getting that four seed versus five seed. And there's so much is still to be determined at the bottom of the bracket in the Big Ten that it's hard to predict exactly who those matchups would be.
Right. Very true. And yeah, as you just noted, Andrew, it's all about matchups come the postseason. All right, you can follow Andrew Kahn of M Live at Andrew Kahn on Twitter, AndrewKahn. You can also read his outstanding work at MLive.com. And Andrew, you'll be dropping that podcast, I assume, very soon, right?
Yes, this afternoon on MLive.com / Wolverines. This is an even quicker way to get to it. It's called the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, my man, Andrew. Andrew, we'll be in touch. Keep up the great work, all right, my man?
Al, thanks. Have a good day.
You too. All right. Well, folks, we'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. Have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.